On this week's show, Procore Groundbreak Recap with Bob Salai from QuickBase.
Construction is the world's oldest industry, but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started The Contech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in Contech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's Contech Crew time.
All right. Good morning, Bob. It feels like I saw you yesterday.
Really does, huh? Time flies.
And time flies when you're groundbreaking, is what I'm going to say from here on out. My voice is still a little extra gravelly from it because, you know, talking over all that noise and fun is, it definitely taxes you after a while, man.
Well, that's a little bit of a jet lag on my front. At least you had the benefit of being in your hometown there a bit, right?
Yeah, the home state right here. Everybody came to Denver. Quite funny to watch everybody get real cold. We had a nice cold snap for everyone. So, you know, to the teams out there like Ignite and others that had beanies, good on you for having them.
They looked ahead at the weather. I love it.
Yeah. It was a good one. Maybe they had them going into the winter. I don't know, but I saw a lot of those Ignite beanies running around after day one's walk freezing.
Oh yeah. The wind, that's a chill in the air. So.
Are you trying to reach the innovators and decision makers in construction technology? Then look no further than sponsoring the Contech Crew. That's right, we're taking new advertisers. Email us at advertising@thecontechcrew.com to learn more.
Yeah, it was.
Well, it was good times.
It was. You know, Bob and I got to spend a bunch of time. Bob's, you know, you guys may recognize him before from QuickBase. Give everybody a little bit of background quick so that they do know who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me back on. Bob Salai, I am the Director of Customer Advisory here for construction for QuickBase specifically. Really, in my past life, have been working with contractors, GCs, and trades across the board in terms of process mapping everything from the beginning of bid management to job closure and everything in between, plus HR and AI and everything else with Contech. So we had the ability to create essentially the QuickBase applications to help either be that point of system or fill in the gaps in between. So it's been exciting to kind of share that story with other contractors at Groundbreak as well. So,
yeah, it's really cool. It kind of follows that theme, right? We heard that theme across the board. This is what I love about Groundbreak in general, especially, you know, year over year. It's really Procore's field focused. You know, we're field first. And when I say that, I don't mean just the field itself, right? Which is one of the most critical parts for any technology to make it to. But the field being the people who do the work, whether they do the prep for the work, whether they do the estimating and pre-construction, whether they're in the construction or, you know, a lot of those people in QAQC and fabrication and all the other things that go on. So there was a term we heard a lot about IRL. In real life. And that's what I like, is that you bring that IRL. We were talking about ahead of time. So give, you know, people your perspective and how many times you heard that.
Oh my gosh. I think we're going to get a tattoo of IRL at some point. And it really is the truth. I think in my previous role at the contractor is that really, how do we get out into the Gemba, out to the point of really all the work is occurring, and understand what is truly happening from the moment they begin writing down on a piece of paper to mocking it up or taking a picture to the point where they might actually pull out their iPad and input some of the data. I think a lot of those in-between processes is what gets lost. And it's so important at the end of the day, because what I heard at Groundbreak was how much time are we spending inputting the data versus actually using some of that data? And is the data accurate, especially for these AI models and stuff like that? But irregardless, what we need to build is for the field so that they can see and input the data quickly, But let's not forget that once that data crosses the threshold and goes to the back office, that also has to be actionable. So it truly is for everything, but you have to bridge that threshold overall. So in real life, let's make it exactly to what these processes are truly doing and not just that final endpoint overall, Josh, is kind of what I heard.
Yeah, it follows the theme of the show itself. And so we're going to be trying to weave these things in. And so I thought it was cool. The in real life was, you know, some of the announcements along the way. One was sort of like a previous announcement. They had already announced last year their acquisition of Unearth, which is a, you know, mapping and sort of a, I wouldn't call it a full GIS, but it's a, you know, it's about the location of where things are. And so they really mapped that in, and they're bringing a lot of that together as a core foundation of, you know, we talk about this all the time. Construction happens in space and in time, and we really don't use the space version as well as we should, right? We have a lot of the time when it comes to schedule. We have a lot of the geometry and other things when it comes to BIM and 3D, but we don't got a lot of like, where is things? Where are things physically? Where is this site location? So, and they really tied that into a couple of the other things they're doing. So just great to see these things starting to weave together. Bob and I got a lot of time on the floor. That's why I decided to have him on. I was hanging out at the QuickBase booth this time around, because you got to have a home base when you're solo out there. So we thought it'd be really, really fun. What were some of the other things maybe you heard along the way in this that sort of piqued your interest?
Yeah. So great having you at the booth. I thought it was because of the ice cream that was sitting next to us overall the whole time, which was dangerous for me. But I think a lot of stuff within Groundbreak, it was exciting to go back and sit in on these all these breakout sessions, hearing from customers stopping on by. And honestly, Jeff, there's a lot of really similar things that we've heard before as well. Like when we start looking at all the paper processes, QuickBase sent out a state of construction that says 91% are still using paper processes and manual. And quite frankly, I always question that from all of my past experience, Jeff, but listening to them, seeing about the safety forms of how much is that a manual process and a manual step. Listening to prefab, that came up a few times at our booth as we started talking down through for those that began dabbling in that arena as well. And it is just spectacular to me about in real life, how much paper process, pulling out the pen and paper, walking to go get that all the way through. So it didn't matter if it was a change order or a WIP report and some of those in-between processes, it was still manual and paper process. And some of the basics of just how do you notify? How do you create a report? How do you begin creating these dashboards for specific roles for each of the people along the way so that it can actually represent in real life what is actually occurring and make the data actionable as opposed to just the final input? And I think that's really what people are beginning to coalesce around is using the data, because we're spending so much time capturing it now and we need it because we know that data, it was mentioned in one of the breakout sessions, treat your data like an asset overall. And how do you begin looking at all of this in between? So use it. Make sure that we're gathering it effectively at the end of the day.
Yeah, I like that. You know, we are putting all of the effort in right now to collect data, but we're still, you know, pretty heavily paper in a lot of places because, you know, consistently it's just, you know, it's funny when you get to Groundbreak, you'd think everybody has changed. But I try to remind folks, remember, you are in an echo chamber of the folks that have been doing this for a really long time. And there's still a lot out on the edges and the fringes to bring into the process of change. Because change is hard, right? It's not something that's easy to do. I wanted to kind of pivot on what you talked about there too, is that, you know, we saw some announcements there. And just sitting at the booth with you, hearing about prefab and hearing about the reality of getting that involved in the overall plan has been, you know, just not reaching. And in fact, one of my posts got taken out of context. I had a chance to interview Tui in the media side of things. And he and Peggy Schmedley and I were talking about, you know, how long BIM has been around. Yeah. And the quote was, you know, it's about time for BIM. And I think that was taken out of context where Tui was saying, listen, a lot of the things that they're building when it comes to, you know, things that Dave McCool talked about where, you know, they have their viewers, they have some clash detection stuff, they have, now they're going into AR, you know, it's about time for BIM to be in real life, not just in the back office, not just designing things anymore, but actually reaching it to the field. So it's just so powerful to see that we need those things done.
Really does. And one of the first applications I built was a bid management application in QuickBase, followed very quickly by a prefab app, Jeff. But before we even did that, we process mapped. And we looked at what are all the steps along in planning, in BIM, in VDC, that we need to conduct to make sure that we provide the prefab shop with the right information and drawings, as well as the field. Because when we think about BIM modeling, as we begin to expand what that really does and mean, you're impacting more than just one person downstream. So how many tasks it actually takes to do a 3D model or a digital twin and connect that along the way with all the information, this is a team that is going through the specs, reading the scope, capturing all of this information upstream, that you don't want that to go to a black hole. Let alone, how do you manage 1,000 different tasks that the BIM team is actually working through, that the project manager and superintendent are basically saying, okay, what's your schedule? What's your timeline look like? It's its own standalone project management application that we had to end up building that was supplemental to the prefab app. So bringing that information, and when you say it's about time, it's about time. We need to start bringing that visibility to the rest of the team so they begin seeing that.
Yeah, it's about time we connect all of that. And I think that's sort of some of the other things we've heard. And, you know, I'll jump into another release. I'm going to try and cover as many of these as I can. We always have an acquisition. The acquisition this year was a little bit, you know, I think we had heard some rumors of it. I'm sure it had been part of some quarterly statements before, so it wasn't exactly a surprise. But SiteScent was purchased by a product created by IntelliWave, and I think the entire company, IntelliWave and SiteScent, came on over to Procore to become part of resource management. And I think that's a huge shift to see that we'll have labor tracking, which, you know, we saw from a previous acquisition of LaborChart from them, equipment, which some big releases of Sensera and John Deere and Caterpillar all being partners in that process, and then materials themselves. So, you know, things happen in places and time, but it takes people, equipment, and materials to build something. So in the end, this resource management in a platform you already have, pretty powerful piece to finally see rolled out and talked about on stage.
It really is. And it's exciting because I think we're all starting to say the same thing at the same token too, right? Is how do we get a job and a project done on time and under budget? And in our past life, when we build an application, if you couldn't get to the information in essentially three clicks, then you're struggling in terms of creating your own gray work moving forward. So as a project manager or superintendent logs into their hub, their portal, how do you bring all that information together under one roof? In looking at what is our fleet, what does our vehicles look like, our heavy equipment, what's our tools? And we had tabs that where you can click into each one of them so that you can quickly see and assess. It also is that balancing act of actually overwhelming the field, I've seen, with too much information. So if it's too much information, people begin to kind of get paralyzed and not know how to act. So I love the streams that we're all going into, right? Is that resource management, is the equipment, the labor, all of the above. But there's a lot of processes in IRL that really supplement what that makes up. So how do we make sure that we're capturing the right KPIs out of that, that really every contractor wants to see, possibly differently at times too? So I think there's an avenue there that we can explore over time a little bit deeper.
Yeah, and it is, and you heard him talk about it, something you talked about with overloading the field, overloading just anybody who uses a platform. That has been one of the problems with something as big and as diverse as a system like Procore. And so over time, they've really had to tackle that. And that was another, I got to, you know, talk to Wyatt Jenkins about this one previously, but then we got to see it come out is these persona-based hubs. The idea that, you know, if you log in and you have access to everything, sometimes it's nothing because it's too much.
It's too much.
So they've really focused in on the user experience. And we know this, user experience is one of the most key components and one of the easiest to overlook, is to create an experience in which you log in and you get the things that you need, the things that are critical. It doesn't mean you can't go out and get those other things if you're a power user or comfortable in moving around, but we really want you to get in. And I was walking through the hallway with, I think it was Todd Wynn talking about this. It's like, to me, they just released your own customized office, right? Because when you go to sit down to work, Bob, your keyboard's the keyboards you like, and you have things sort of set up your way. If you've watched anybody in the field, they all organize their tools a little bit differently. They all have things sort of their way. Look at a tool belt. Every tool belt has a lot of the same things on it, but no one of them organizes it the same way. It's because it's how they like their flow. This is the software embodying that in real life, is that persona-based experience. And I like to see this too, because they hinted at, you know, I might want my persona, but then again, I might want my team, my project to have a particular look, feel, and set of tools. So I thought that was powerful in bringing information to where people really need to meet it. And so I'm kind of wondering how that impacts and has been a part of your thought process, because I know in building those applications and in working with your teams, you take that into consideration. That's where your three clicks comes from.
Yeah, that's, it's actually huge and spot on. I think as we look at applications, low code, no code, and we build out these series and suite of pro applications out there, I'm always tasked with, as we talk to many different clients, as we look at really how they're creating their tool cart, to me, it's the tool cart, because they always had add-ons to that cart. They would actually always bolt on a piece of plywood, et cetera, in a box. But as we look at the applications, there are fundamental building blocks that make up these apps. All right. So as we begin looking at the prefab app or our RFI tracking or time tracking, things that we've launched with that workforce management suite, it's really building out to 80% of what we can offer and really show, but it has to show that value. And so when a customer begins to install and move forward with it, we have a team prepared to talk and basically say, how do you want to now augment this to what is in real life, to what you are actually going through? So that way it's a usable application as is, but always with those tweaks of actually saying, okay, what are your rules? What are your personas that you want to tailor these applications to, and begin to kind of make that interweaving mix back to whether that's a QuickBase project hub, or maybe we need to integrate that with Procore. And that was a lot of the discussions that we had at Groundbreak. So in one instance, we're finding ourselves as that glue in between, that connection to Procore, or for some of the smaller companies that don't really have that really solidified one, maybe the GC came in and said, you got to use Procore for this project, and they got to use something else for project B. But we're actually becoming that hub as well for a lot of the trade subcontractors and kind of down market of some of the GCs who don't have anything in place. So the ability to adapt and change. We actually had a lot of conversations at the booth of saying, okay, when you choose this software, choose something that begins to adapt and grow with you, because leadership changes. The ideas of what needs changes. And not to belabor it too much, but it's also the technology. As you begin to extend how many, it's almost like the accordion effect. We see virtual reality, augmented reality, and we begin to grow and we begin to select what is that latest and greatest. And then over time, we begin to kind of come on back and say, okay, well, let's kind of streamline. It kind of grew too much. Let's reset that foundation and have like an accordion style. And so allowing QuickBase to kind of tweak that as we go forth, we're seeing a lot of success with that, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool concept too, because I wanted to just, you know, call it out, because I thought it was interesting that, you know, a lot of what you guys released during that time was a pre-construction suite, a project management suite, a safety suite, a field operations, you know, QuickBase AI, all things we kind of saw mirrored on the stage. And in many respects, that would usually make a team you know, a little bit, you know, like you're, hey, are you here to eat my lunch too? Like, what's going on? But I think in sitting there having conversations, and, you know, you guys weren't alone in that. I think the people relishing in those conversations, like Avocado and others that speak that same language of, hey, look, it's 80% out of the box, but 20%, you know, that's your secret sauce. That's your special magic. Make it possible. But also, you know, have a suite of things to think about, which I think was cool, because I said safety with you guys. We saw big safety announcements when it came to Groundbreak. Procore's, you know, always been, and I get to sit in this chair where I get to throw stones at, you know, any direction I want. So it's always been a pencil whipped product. It really has been something that's been an add-on. I don't know a lot of safety professionals in the industry that really see it as a game changer. They really see it as something they we got to get done. And so they've always looked to other places to solve it. And I think, you know, this is Procore saying, okay, we've heard you, and, you know, it's more robust. It's going to be more user-friendly. They threw a hard hat and sensors in that I thought was cool. I did not get to get my hands on that. Hey, team at Procore, I want to get my hands on that. I love IoT. I love that enabled wearable. I mean, people get scared of wearables, but we got wearables right here. They monitor things. They keep us safe. So really interested in that piece and that connective. You know, it's not worth doing if it isn't safe, right?
Yeah. And what better place to begin putting some of these QR codes as opposed to having to go back to your desk or go hunt it down or go scroll through, right? If we have that QR code on the hard hat that you begin to kind of scan, there's so much information. And we got to understand really what is value, whether or not that's looking up the certifications of who that employee that might have. I mean, there's other things involved. I've also seen instances where that you have your basically your emergency contacts. So that's just quick. If someone actually gets hurt or injured within the safety realm, how do you know who to contact right away? Because someone might not even know that it's on some SharePoint, hidden away in some file, et cetera. So I love seeing this. I love seeing the growth of safety, because that's always paramount, right? If we're not coming home safe at the end of the day, then we're missing the point of tracking all of this as well. So being a little bit more predictive in the analytics, that's my key, Jeff, is how do we get that data coming back so that we can actually be a little bit more preemptive before we actually get it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too. I was sitting in the speaker ready room, and I was listening to some of these speakers get ready, and there was a couple that were talking about you know, analyzing the safety data inside of Procore, but also analyzing, you know, OSHA statistics around safety, and that Procore users, and I would argue that it's probably software users in general that use some sort of advanced system are significantly safer. Because I think that shows two things. I mean, one is, yes, you're using technology to help you out, but ultimately, like, to use that technology, that means that you had to actually be focused on that change and aimed at it. So I think it's an opportunity too. I love a good arms race, and there are some really great safety companies out there. You know, I had Gabe Guetta on recently from Salus and others. Like, I don't think this is a time to be scared. I think it's a time to say, hey, cool, safety and usability and not pencil whipping is about to reach its potential. And when a company as big as Procore figures that out, it means it's an opportunity. So, and like you said, not everybody's going to be on it. You guys, you know, released a recent safety suite involved in the product itself. So we're seeing that.
That's right. I think
now I'm going to shift you, because this is one you love, man. This is one you love, and I hate, and I don't hate it in the way I hate that I feel as though the industry has been frozen in time when it comes to scheduling. Is that we have this big master schedule that is just, it's almost the immovable. It's supposed to be telling us about the movement, but it is the immovable object. It's like the complete oxymoron. And you saw Procore come out with a field level bi-directional scheduling component. So basically not usurping that master schedule. But again, what the hell does that master schedule mean? in real life.
In real life.
IRL. When we hit the field, when we're in detailing, when we're in prefab, like I could see a lot of places for this. I was interested because you guys, you know, you've always talked about, you know, connecting the schedule to a couple of different things. So how did you think about that? And what, how cool is it to see that on the roadmap?
Scheduling is kind of like the Rubik's Cube overall of how do we need to pull all this in together? And when we think about the overall master schedule, I've seen it as well. There's so much granularity in all these different work streams that begin to impact it. There are things now of talking about, well, we have the construction schedule, but we also have the planning and BIM schedule as well that's supporting a lot of these efforts. And if they're out of sync, then we're going to be behind and we're going to be delayed and we can't identify those issues. But in my past life, Jeff, it's really interesting you say this. So we had a stint doing some last planning and some pool planning out on a job site. And as we come to learn, that is an animal in and of itself. And it takes all the trades, it takes the GC to lead it and guide it. But there are layers to just that schedule that begin to represent and get very similar to like a 3-week look ahead. We begin looking at what are those granular tasks. And it's more than just the high level master schedule plan at times. It has to be crewing, has to help that out. So seeing how this begins to blend together is going to give us so much more information at the end of the day. And in real life, we can actually start filling in a lot of that gray work to connect to other things. And those other things can be the submittal log. There's going to be dates and times that connect into this work stream that we haven't either taken into consideration because it's always been on Excel spreadsheet here, but through all of this interconnectivity, we're going to actually be able to use maybe some AI to actually begin to predict where we're going to see some of these issues in the future overall. So it's about time. I love it.
It's so cool to hear you talk about that because as I've gotten further and further into the construction industry, I've gotten more and more confused. And I think that's important because I think from the outside and especially from the software side, you know, there's a lot of folks are like, oh, well, we're just going to fix it. We'll just solve it. And it's like, you can't solve this puzzle that way. If there was a solution to it, it would have been solved. We have a ton of technology that exists out there.
Right.
But the thing about it is, you know, a job takes upwards of, you know, 50 trades at some point in time, all coordinated. And now with so many things happening in new means and methods offsite and all of those little parts and pieces impact that schedule, and that schedule being so rigid just has always been a blocker. But now this allows, you know, with what Procore is going to do, with what you guys have. And again, this is not where I think folks like Outbuild or Planera or others should be worried. I think they should say, hey, look, this is our opportunity to be a set of glue and impact that master schedule in the end and turn it from a big giant rock to, you know, something that's alive and flexible. Because ultimately, part of the problem with the construction process is it changes.
That's right.
And we need to understand how that impacts schedule and overall delivery. And I've said this consistently, the difference between, you know, a problem and a decision is how quickly the entire team knows about it. It's a problem when it's too late. It's a decision when we get it early enough. We know we've been out there in the field problem solving and, you know, kind of working with our trades and working with our, you know, our plans and getting people out there quickly. And we are able to adjust. The problem is we're almost always finding out too late to make an adjustment that actually can impact or make up on that schedule. People don't think that you can make up on schedule. You can make up on schedule if you have the information and can set out the plan. Remember, it takes time to mobilize a team. It takes time to get materials to a place. So if you look back, now we have scheduling. Now we have labor. We have equipment. We have materials. We have visibility. And our trades now have a place to feed that information into. And it doesn't have to be, you said it doesn't have to be through Procore, right? It can be through things. And that's, you know, that's the other thing is, you know, we stood on the showroom floor together. That was the biggest I've ever seen that showroom floor. There was so many people, new technologies, new things I had not seen before.
Yeah.
All that now have a place to feed this stuff to.
I think that's spectacular. And that's near and dear to my heart from Lean, right? Is like, as we create these schedules, if you're not actually planning for change, well, then you're actually forgetting what the heck the schedule is all about, because change is naturally going to occur. And as you were talking, I was thinking through like what scheduling has really is and what has become too is like these inkblot tests, right? What is it? Rorschach tests overall?
Rorschach tests, yeah.
And it's like this amoeba and blob that begins to kind of look differently to each of the trades and general contractors. And so when we look at problems, we're seeing software actually get invented and created that is always maybe through the lens of one of those inkblot tests. But in reality, if you're a general contractor and I'm a trade and there's 50 of us, we're all looking at this inkblot test slightly different. And I think we need to find out the solutions of how do we begin to create the databases, the workflows that kind of enable from both sides to create that mechanism and then bring us all that information all together under one roof. So I see a day that that's going to occur.
I really like your, I'm going to steal that, that the construction set schedule is a Rorschach test, and every trade and GC and probably CM and owner sees that ink blot just a bit different. And you're never going to change that. But if you can inform it, the amoeba and ink blot tests can continue to become some sort of reality over time. And I cannot believe you've mentioned it a couple times, but I cannot believe we got this far.
Okay.
Without saying AI,
oh,
the star of the show. Although I gotta say I was pretty impressed, and I have a background with Regisa. Regisa Chaparral is the VP of AI for Procore, and I've had a chance to be on stage with her. I got a chance to stop and talk to her on the floor, and I think even she was blown away by the response to the AI agents and the really the AI studio. So we heard about AI agents from TUI in the beginning, and I think people were a little bit like, what does that mean? And then Regitha came out and kind of explained it more. So the idea is that Procore has embedded, and they have some chat functions and some other things that are readily available. And by the way, they're not enabled right away. You gotta opt in. So it's okay. You got to opt in. They're not just going to throw you down the rabbit hole. But then so much of AI right now is the Wild Wild West. And we heard this, and I will say this here, like so many people are trying to figure out where to bet on it, bet against it. And the interesting thing for me is that you actually don't have to bet on it or against it. You have to bet on being prepared for it.
Right.
And being prepared for it means exactly what you and I have been talking about. It's about getting your gray work, which is, if we hadn't explained it before, gray work is this idea of the things that happen in the shadows outside of your technology stack, mainly in Excel. But I've seen a lot of them in PowerPoint and Google Slides, and I've seen a ton of them in Word docs that are checklists or some orphaned application that's been gone for years and you can't really do anything with it, and it creates a PDF. That's gray work. So we're talking about, you know, the opportunity to get AI to where you want it is to get rid of that gray work, get it all in and get prepared. That's where I think if you're wondering where to bet, that's where you should get is bet on being prepared. But secondly, now there's so many different places that you can go and people will tell you, you can build your own, you know, build your own ChatGPT, build your own this, build your own that. It's pretty daunting. And also, I don't know, there's a lot of risk involved in some of those things. Not that it can't be done. Listen, like it's getting more and more secure. You can, you know, opt out of models being trained. A lot of this stuff's going to get out there anyway. You know, it's obfuscated in a way that can't be used. I had all these conversations. Thanks, Britton, for Britton Langdon from Snaptrude for that conversation. We dug into a little bit of that. So learning from you. But ultimately, their studio is one of, so this new agent studio, you can build things inside of the Procore platform that are on your data, that are trained by models that you can now trust because they're your trusted provider. know, this is something that's not new. This is what I was trying to talk to folks about. You guys at QuickBase have done this, right? So I think there's another parallel here, right? Like, how are you using and how do you see where AI can have the most impact today?
Well, listen, we all know AI is the wave of the future. I mean, it's coming. Get prepared for it overall. And my mind always goes towards like, okay, if we have the information and the data that's going to be feeding these languages, if it is off in a certain way, or that we didn't feed it, only just a percentage of what the real information might be prepared for a wrong result that's going to be coming to you. So understanding what is that information, when we talk about bid management and we start feeding in that model, having the database that goes across not just large projects, but what about service and accounts projects? All of the bids that your entire company is doing, what is the information you're going to want out of it? And what information are you providing inside of it overall? So I think this information or topic around AI begins to spread around, do you trust the information that's coming out of it? And what are you doing to put inside of it? Let's go hunt down those pieces of gray work and make sure that when we capture it, we're capturing all of that information up front. So if we haven't created those mechanisms, let's start that now. Let's start creating those workflows and those databases to feed that language model, because that's what's exciting. But it's exciting because AI is being used for looking at the data as well as creation as well. So that's what we're seeing in QuickBase. So is how we create the databases, use AI. That's going to help look at the information, create reports, create the workflows, and how you read the information is so important so that we can actually do that a lot quicker and understand what it's actually going to tell us predictive-wise. So we need to start getting these databases ready, Jeff, overall. And if there's not there, if it's on an Excel spreadsheet hidden somewhere, it's not going to inform the right person at the end of the day. And yeah, so that's interesting. That topic
can go a couple different ways. That's the practical component, right? What Bob's talking about is, and I think this is kind of interesting to see big companies like this using it, where it really does work today super powerfully is that I can go into a platform like Procore or like QuickBase or like lots of others out there, right? And know what I want to get done. And the tools themselves are now trained to help me generate, I don't want to call it new applications, but they're pretty close to new applications to solve those rooted problems in Excel spreadsheets. Because we say this stuff all the time, that Excel's the enemy. But honestly, Excel's the savior in a lot of cases because it's a predictor or it's an indicator of friction. Friction in the software, friction in a workflow, friction in the way things happen. And we haven't previously had the ability to adapt to those things. So now we can sit down and instead of, you know, trying to hammer a round peg in a square hole, we can meet with our teams, figure out where this friction is coming from, and use the agents or use the tools to create environments to collect that data and remove those friction points. And that does two things, right? We don't need all of our people in the background to become coders. We want some of them to, but we don't need all of them to. And we need them to get their jobs done in real life. So we've given them tools to get to that solution faster. But it's in that realm that we want it to be with the, you know, rails around it. So it's a super cool time. And then if we can get all of that, then we've got this robust data set of our own to compare against a larger industry data set to get right. KPIs, to get benchmarking, to adjust our profits, to do all of that.
Jeb, I love that. And you're spot on. The Excels and the Word documents that you mentioned before, the gray work, I think changing the lens, that's an indicator. And I just had to think through really what I'm going through in my life right now is when my kids don't tell me there's a problem or they're trying to sweep something under the rug and not tell me, well, then we don't know how to fix the problem at the end of the day overall. And so as we see this, this gives us that foundation and that framework to say, let's go make that solution. Let's go move this forward and understand it. But without that Excel spreadsheet, you're kind of like shooting in the dark, not even understanding what to go from there. So that gets interesting. There's a topic here, and it's probably a discussion for a later time, but I heard a lot about what is the impact of AI? And we talk about a lot of the data models, and I am really kind of genuinely curious what will happen around culture with AI. And I can almost imagine a day where we begin thinking that this is really good. We need to embrace it. It's a new technology, a new generation. But the skeptic in me also has where, okay, is a manager going to trust the AI model versus what you're saying? Because you had the Excel spreadsheet behind the scenes. And is there going to be conflict that we're going to have to solve from a cultural standpoint? And that could be a topic for another day, but we need to understand this impact of culture.
I fully hear you. And I think you have leaned into a future episode. I don't want to wrap it up without talking about one of my favorite things about it. I got to see my man, Fred Mills. Fred, if you guys don't know, from the B1M and Procore have really come together to attack the problems with mental health and awareness that we have in our industry, right? We have suicide issues. We have overdose issues. We have a lot of things that are, you know, sort of the gray life of our world that we don't like to talk about, but we need to. And they've started something called getconstructiontalking.org. You can just go right there and get involved. They announced it last year, and they really went through a year of publicizing and getting it out there and raising funds. But this year, it was sort of at the center of and a place to go and have conversations. And I really want, you know, everybody listening to get involved. They are taking donations. Those donations go to great places. They're matching them right now. So go to getconstructiontalking.org. Check them out. Get involved in it. Ask questions. They've got great resources, Bob, because you know this. It's like everything in our world. If we're given resources and tools, then we can act.
Right. Absolutely. That's spectacular. We need to do it more often, and we need to make sure that people are aware that this stuff exists out there. So really thankful for everybody involved in that.
Yeah. And I want to thank you, man. I could sit here and talk to you about this all day. Enjoyed spending the week with you. Enjoyed a little pit bull at the end. You know, I got to get my bash on. And as always, you know, Procore, thank you for throwing a killer party with incredible partners. That floor was awesome. I'm exhausted. I think maybe in the next year, maybe you guys put in some nap containers, you know, where we can like go in there and nap, or maybe like, you know, those little chambers or saunas,
rejuvenation chambers or something.
Yeah, rejuvenation chambers, you know, something like that. Maybe that would help me. And thanks to everybody I saw while I was there, including you and the team at QuickBase. Bob, you guys made me feel at home. Hey, wait, I would be remiss though if I didn't say, hey, how about if the coolest session at Groundbreak wasn't actually at Groundbreak?
I could. Exactly.
Hey, did you enjoy a little flow state with my boy Charlie Dunn and I?
I sent a note to Charlie. We're going to be talking about it a little bit more too, as well. So he was excited for it.
For those of you who don't know, we had a little gorilla fun at the Museum of Illusions with our friends over at Veil Sun and my QuickBase friends, and we used the Museum of Illusions to create a first ever flow state experience. If you want to know what the flow state experience was and you didn't get to go, well, you're just going to have to wait for it to come to an event near you.
We're going
to
repeat it.
Yeah, we're going to repeat that. I can tell you from my text messages that Charlie and I are going to be out there on the scene providing that in the future. And it was a ton of fun and a ton of effort and a ton of effort to everyone who put it on, to the team at Procore that was out there, to the team at all the booths out there that we know bring the hustle, and to my boy Charlie for bringing the hustle at the Museum of Illusions. It was an awesome time, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks, Bob. Thanks for sitting down with me, man.
Looking forward to the next one. Always, Jeff. Thank you so much.
And thank you for tuning in today to geek out for our interview with Bob Salai. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontechcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.